thank immensely. And also, I just want to say something about Hudson Hall. It's led by Tamara Dillon, who has a staff of incredible people. The work they do is just, I'm experiencing this for the first time, working with them. And the support,
so let's give shout-outs.
The support is incredible. Thank you so much, Hudson Hall. Jessica, you're amazing.
We have Jessica
and
Sage Carter.
Jessica, Sage.
Caroline. Lee Patterson.
Caroline Lee. We have Oleg Belitsky.
Oh, Oleg Belitsky.
And then we have Casey Peck.
And Casey Peck.
Who else am I missing? I think that's it.
Cool.
Oh, and Kaylee Warren, who works on the weekends. Shout out, Kaylee.
It's a great team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's female dominated.
Well,
there's
hey.
Something to it, guys.
Yes,
definitely.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Watch it.
What do you mean?
Watch it.
What do you mean?
No, but come on, women can rule the world.
Exactly, and
for
or
sure.
the show.
And the show. Yeah.
Anyway, so who picked the artists for this year's jazz?
Yep. So, our curator is Kat Henry. She curated the last Hudson Jazz Festival as well. Kat is just a phenomenal human and has, you know, helped connect us with these, you know, top of the line jazz musicians. I mean, Marquise Hill is someone I'm very excited to see, India Owens. They're all so accomplished in their own right, and she really did a great job of, you know, getting the stellar lineup for us.
Kat's
a really good friend of us at Hudson Hall. We love her.
So can you imagine the soundtrack to come from this?
It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
So how many nights are we talking about here? Let's see.
So we have 8 nights total and 7 performances. So Marines are opening, and then we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next weekend, Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
So essentially it's on weekends.
Exactly.
Towards the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, let's go over some of these. Marquis Hill, well-known trumpeter.
Well-known.
He is one of the early ones. Performing, Sarah Charles. I don't know.
What Sarah Elizabeth Charles.
Yep, Sarah Elizabeth Charles. That's going to be a really awesome show.
Very awesome.
She's going to have a. She's having art on stage with her. She just came out with Blank Canvas, which is her newest album, and it's. She's having the artwork that inspired the album up with
cool.
her.
We should play
stage.
A little bit of her in the background, Tom. That's your cue. Hey, you're in that commander seat. Get on it.
Are you actually snapping your fingers at
I
me?
Am.
Ouch. And, of course, I'm responding appropriately, which is to say I'm going to do that, what she tells me to do.
That's right. Isn't that chair comfortable, Tom? You see it? You feel
yes.
it?
Yes.
You too are quite an act, I have to say.
Well, you know, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. He's roped at this point. So did you know that Hudson would have this much of a range for you? When you first came here? Because, I mean, when I first met you, you were just a very creative mom, but you were also very inspiring. Like, I could see there was something more coming. I didn't know you'd go this far, but did you think that you could bring all of your talents to Hudson in this way?
It's not a matter of thinking if I could. That's who I am. You know, I bring it everywhere I go.
Mm. But not every place would be as receptive. Some places are just like...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I believe that, you know, we're all born artists, you know. We're all creative people. And I think we all have the potential to be receptive, you know. Hudson is a particular place because it's close to New York City. A lot of artists are coming up here, so it's we have quite a large community of artists in Hudson. So people are receptive. Most people here, you know, there's music, there's galleries. I mean, galleries, art gallery, painters, musicians. It's everywhere, every corner of this town, which is lovely. What was your question?
No, that was it. That was it. I mean, some people come here and they feel stifled. They don't feel that they can accomplish. But you seem to not have that glass ceiling. You seem to have a clear view.
I mean, look, I come from a hamlet in the middle of nowhere in Britain. That's where I grew up. And when I left, I had a big vision. I had didn't have a dream of doing this or that, but I had a vision. I knew I was going to be the artist I wanted to be. So it doesn't matter where I am, where I go.
You're going to bring it with you.
Yeah.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now. This is Paper Tiger Radio, special radio station. Telephone number is 212-420-9045.
Pedimos que por favor reporten al 420-9045. Estamos midiendo la fuerza de esta transmisión, una nueva emisora.
This is great.
But I have one of the VHS
independent narrowcasting.
Less than it costs to buy a real good radio.
This is WNYU too. We're actually going over a really powerful station.
Really?
Right
We're now. Going over NYU?
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if we go on a space that's not being used, we can go even further.
Yeah. Not that there are a lot in New York. But keep you as close to the mic. No one called. We're really getting a lot of reach and a lot of distance. Nobody lives around here, that's the thing. Tell me if I'm going to bump into some guys. Not them, is it?
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That entire night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and marmalade, oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall, who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Claire, and I'm from Sleepy Hollow.
I'm Amelia, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia, I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, also from Hudson. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate and bookish things.
And that's what we're gonna do today.
All right, we've got a full house today.
Woo woo! We got four people. Wow, this is like the most we've had since Jada was on the show, which was like a year ago.
Yeah, it's nice to see you all. I can't wait to hear from all of you about what you've been reading or writing, etc.
Woo woo.
Since we didn't get to hear from Georgia last week, I'm wondering if we can start with you.
Sounds good. So the book I'm going to share today is called The Apprentices by Mel Malloy. And this is the second book in the series to the book I shared the last week I was on, which is called The Apothecary. So do not read this unless you've read The Apothecary. I mean, you can, but it won't really make sense. I was honestly expecting it to not be as good, and the beginning wasn't super good, and so I was like, oh, this is just another bad sequel, but actually, it's, like, just as good. I like the first one a bit more, but it's still, like, almost just as good. It's different from The Apothecary, because in The Apothecary, it's told from Janie, the protagonist, like, the main character's perspective, and it's told from, like, first person, so it's like I and sort of shows her thoughts, but in this one it sort of switches off every chapter the perspective, and it's not first person, it's like, is it third person, where it's like they do something, they, is that third person? I don't know what kind of person is that, but some other person, but it's like Janie did so and so, but like it switches perspective. And I really like that, like, they aren't next to each other and they all have to find each other. And you sort of can, like, feel them, like, coming together. And it's really cool. Also, at the end, it has a plot twist. And I did not think it would happen. I thought it would end up being saved. But it actually happened. I'm not going to say what. But it's really juicy. Okay. So now I'll read the description. Together, they can do anything, but they have to find each other first. 2 years have passed since Janie Scott last saw Benjamin Burroughs, the mysterious apothecary's defiant son. Now, Benjamin and his father are on the other side of the world, treating the sick and wounded in the war-torn jungles of Vietnam. But Benjamin has also been experimenting with a magical new formula that allows him to communicate with Janie across the globe. And when he discovers that Janie's own experiments have gotten her into trouble, he calls on their friend Pip for help. The three friends are thrown into a desperate chase around the world to find one another while trying to unravel the mystery of what threatens them all. Acclaimed author Mael Molloy seamlessly weaves together magic and adventure in the sequel to The Apothecary with stunning illustrations by Ian Schoenher or something. But it's so good. It's like a mystery, but has some magic to it at the same time. It's so good. I would totally recommend it. I'd say, though, it says 10 plus on the label, and I would agree. I'd say it's like 9 or 10 plus, because there's a little bit of, like, kissing. Hence, I roll. You guys probably couldn't see that, but... Radio listeners out there, I just did an eye roll, major one.
Yeah, what does an eye roll sound like on the radio?
It's like this.
Sounds like nothing on the radio, though. Like
nothing. So. That sounds really fun, though. I'm glad you're enjoying that series.
Yeah, it's a really good book.
Is it a trilogy?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Does the third one also start with an A?
This?
Yes, all of them start with A's. I just started the third one today. I've gotten like one or two pages in. So the first one is The Apothecary. Second one is The Apprentices. And the third one is The After Room. It's so good, though. I would overall recommend.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's move on and hear from somebody else. How about let's hear from Claire?
Okay, so there's this book that me and my mom have been reading at night, and it is an adaptation of Hansel and Gretel. It's seems like a board book, but it's actually very long. It does not have chapters, but it's just really, really, really good. And it has a lot more details than the first one. And I really like the illustrations and the colors that they use. And I'm almost done it.
Can you tell us who the author and illustrator are?
The author and illustrator is, it doesn't say it on the front.
The secret, a mystery.
Mike Mitchell Morgo, Emia Chich, I can't read this. Can one
complicated names, huh? Emma Chichester Clark and Michael Morpurgo. Oh, he wrote some chapter books. Like he did, I think he did War Horse. Forget what else. He's written a lot of books.
And it's like really, really good. And then there is this one by Mo Williams called The Frustrating Book. Hmm. And my mom laughed so hard on it. I'll show you a part of it. I just have to, okay.
Yeah, his books are pretty funny.
Yeah.
I haven't read that one.
The Big Story. Ready? Almost. Come on. Hi, Zoom Squirrel. Hi, Squirrel Friend. What is this? We have feelings! And we want to share some with you. Really? Wow. That makes me feel happy. First, this is on the house. Cool. Would you like another feeling? Something new? New? Yes, I would like to reveal a new feeling. Let's see. Have you ever been disappointed? I'm not sure. Okay, disappoint me! I'm ready to be disappointed. When would you like us to disappoint you? When? When? Now! Now! We cannot disappoint you now. Do you have to make a disappointment appointment? A disappointment appointment? Yes. That's too bad. I was really looking forward to being disappointed now. That makes me feel... Well, I don't have a word for it. Maybe we can offer you a different feeling. Okay, great. Oh, now a new feeling for you. Frustration. Frustration? Okay. Frustrate me! Let's see. Oh, bad news, I mean. We cannot frustrate you. We do not have any. You do not have any frustration. Well, then why did you offer it to me? Come on. First, you cannot disappoint me. Then you cannot frustrate me. That makes me so. This picture is like really creepy. Look at that.
Very cool.
And so I read a little part of it in the middle. just to let you know, so that's not how it starts out. Also, I have this book that I found. It's The Sky Observer's Guide. And I haven't read it that much, but it shows you constellations, and it tells you about observing the skies and stuff. How to observe stars, moon, sun, and planets with unlimited eye blinders and telescopes, planet locks, sky maps, lits of sky objects, 50 paintings and photographs, a golden handbook, the Sky Observer's Guide, a handbook for arms, whatever that says. And yeah, that's what I have today.
That is a diverse assortment of books.
Yes.
I like it. Do you like to look at the stars?
What?
Have you done that much, looking at the stars and trying to figure out the constellations?
But once it was really cold, I think in December, and I saw the Big Dipper.
Oh, cool. I only know a few of the constellations by sight, but it's fun to make up constellations, kind of like how you can see things in clouds and like try to decide like what a cloud looks like. Like that one looks like a dog. That one looks like a bunny. I like to do that with the stars.
That was really good. I remember my first shows and they were not nearly as good as that. The first one I came with my whole thing written on a note card and I like dressed up for it. I wore a dress even though it was over Zoom and I came with the whole thing written down on a note card. But that, and I was very like awkward, but that was just so smooth. And honestly, that's better than I do most of the time. That was so good. I loved all of those. Also, I love Mo Williams. I love Mo Williams. I really like, my favorite ones by him are The Pigeon Needs a Bath, like the Pigeon series. I love those.
I like Gerald and Piggy. Or is it Elephant and Piggy? It's Elephant and Piggy, but one of them's Gerald.
No, it's Gerald and Piggy.
Yeah, they're very good, all of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check out that one that you read a little bit from. That sounds really fun and funny. Uh-huh. I like the disappointment appointment.
Oh, I think I know why he made him feel that way. Because then, could I take a guess? I, just so you know, I haven't read the book. Maybe that's how he's making him frustrated.
Yeah, by saying that he can't frustrate you. But he's actually getting frustrated. Just by them saying that they can't frustrate him.
I knew it.
Seemed really frustrated.
Very.
Well, why don't we move along to Fatia? What did you want to share today?
I want to share like a poem I found. It's like a really nice one. It's called The Snowflake Prayer. Thank you, God, for the gift of winter, for the cold, frosty snow and shimmering icicles, and most of all, for snowflakes, ever so amazing and special, so one of a kind. Let me remind you that in your eyes, so beautiful, so special, so one of a kind, thank you, God, for snowflakes. It's pretty short, but I liked it a lot, and it reminds me of winter.
I don't think many people were thanking God for the cold last week when it was freezing out. But snowflakes are always nice in my mind.
Yeah.
Claire, you had a question?
I was just going to say something really short. There's this book at school that's really sad, and it's called The Giving Tree, and it's really sad and beautiful. I just wanted to say that. What? I sort of like that poem.
Short and beautiful, just like the poem. Well, thank you for sharing, Fatia. I love when you bring poems to share. So, Amelia, did you have a book to share this week or anything you wanted to share?
I've started a big old like overhaul of a series I was really into like a couple years ago. Have you ever gotten into a really long series and then fallen out of interest? And when you try to pick it back up again, you don't remember what's happening? Yes. I'm having that moment. So I've taken... The first manga I was ever really into was a manga called Black Butler, which has over 20 volumes now, several chapters. It's a pretty massive thing. It's more of a teenage to older audience series, but I tried to pick it up again a couple days ago because the newest volume came out and I didn't remember what was happening. So I had to go back to where I could remember what was happening and start over. And I'm so upset about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like I get to relive one of my favorite series all over again. So it's not that bad. Sometimes you just got to read things for fun, which I haven't been able to do a lot since I just graduated college. And a lot of my time is taken up reading things that were not for fun, like textbooks and assignments. But now I have graduated and I got my diploma in the mail just a few days ago. Oh, cool. So now I can take time to read for myself, and it's really great. And sometimes that just means rereading old stuff that you enjoy. Besides that, I don't have anything else new to talk about, but I do have a question for like the younger viewers, mostly because I have no idea if this series is still popular, and I need to know because I recently looked it up online and realized that the plot of this series was absolutely insane. And also, the one book I read from the series was apparently the 25th book in the entire thing. Is Animorphs still popular? I need to know, is Animorphs still popular?
What's Animorphs?
Oh my god, that hurts me. So when I was really little, like around your guys' age, like 8 or 9 or whatever, back when the library was still by the elementary school, that's how long ago this was, I would go there and I would always borrow either Goosebumps books or Animorphs books. And I never read the Animorphs books except for one. I read one. It was the one with the anteater on the cover, and I looked it up a couple days ago, and it was the 25th book in the entire series, which is probably why I never borrowed them again, because I thought that was the first book and I didn't understand what was going on.
Oh!
But I looked up the plot. Yeah, I looked up the plot like several days ago and found out that it was just like the most insane soap opera of a YA novel I've ever looked at. And it wasn't even really YA, it was like younger than YA, but it was still probably the most complex plot I have ever heard of in any book I've ever read. I didn't know aliens were involved in the Animorphs, which is why I had to ask if it was still popular, because I was hoping one of you could explain what's going on to me, but not. Apparently it's not popular anymore.
I think I remember. So I got one of the Animorphs book, the like horse girl one, from a little free library, and then I forgot to ever take it back.
I feel like no one really starts reading Animorphs at the beginning, do they? They all just see a cover. And
I ended up getting thrown out when we moved because I never read it. I started it, but it was like really, really, really complicated and boring and annoying because I was like 6.
Yeah.
And it was really complicated and boring and annoying. And like I literally never heard anyone mention a word about it, so I was just like, yeet this. And so I just yeeted it off my desk and just like yeeted it behind my bookshelf. But I've literally, other than that, I've never seen it or heard of it.
Yeah,
I do not think it's popular anymore.
I don't think they're very popular anymore, except that I think people that grew up reading them sometimes like go back to them, or like have kids, maybe introduce it to their kids.
They were a very specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. And I think a lot of people I've spoken to actually found the covers kind of like unnerving.
Yeah.
Scary, man. That cover like, was scary.
Like the pictures of the kid, fine. The pictures of the animal, fine. I don't need to see the stages in between. That's upsetting.
Yeah, that was scary. That legit scared my poor six-year-old self. That scared my poor 6-year-old self.
Yeah, I remember the one book I read, I don't remember everything. I do remember being extremely distressed by the descriptions of like them being able to turn into animals. Like, I did not like it. I was not fond of it at all.
It was too slow moving for me. Mm. Also, it was really annoying. The girl in the first page, I remember, was like, my name is Jessica, or something starting with a J.
I can't tell you
my last name, because then I might get captured by an alien. You never know who is an alien. It could be you, reader.
God, I I refuse to believe anyone actually just started